Hour number two of Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, there's been a quarterback trade, so to speak, in college football. We all know the Nico Iamaleava saga. He is going to go to UCLA. And then what do the Vols get?
The guy didn't play it down, right?
No, UCLA? He transferred in the winter portal from App State.
I mean, was this the same quarterback that beat Texas A&M for them? I'm trying to read down.
Joey, is it Aguilar?
Aguilar, yeah.
Yeah. So he transfers to Tennessee. He had transferred in the winter to UCLA. UCLA gets Nico, so then he goes to Tennessee.
And then here we are. He's a decent quarterback. And I think he'll fit well. I mean, he was a Sun Belt newcomer of the year in 23 at App State and then, you know, transferred. He's a big kid, 6'3", 220. He likes to throw interceptions, which is something of a kind of a gunslinger.
When a guy he should come to the much, Titans then.
Right? Should do that. This is great in the trade. Now, Nico's brother's leaving Arkansas, going
to UCLA.
I mean, what a crazy family. I mean, it's just a truly crazy family. Tried to hijack college football. And again, I talk to Tennessee fans all the time. Every one of them are like, bye.
Right. It's just like, okay.
But then I said, what if he would have stayed? They're like, we loved him. But you're not going to hijack our program over this.
Right.
You already agreed to what was going on. We loved you. And now you're going to do this, and now all this comes out.
Do you buy a little bit of the that it was more the offense? Because I don't.
No.
I don't.
No.
But at the same time, like, I wonder – you know, is he going to fit better in whatever UCLA is running?
Look at the Alabama game when he overthrew receivers who were wide open.
Right.
He did it in the Florida game. Don't come in here with the Tennessee Chattanooga and Kent State and UTEP nonsense.
And Vandy.
Hell, Chase could have done that in the game. No offense, Chase. You could have done well against those teams behind that offense. No, I just think now it's a good narrative for them to say, oh, it's not about the money. We're going out here and do that. You know, we'll see what he does. I mean, it's a Big Ten schedule now for UCLA. It's a couple of games. Like, he's got to go to Penn State, I think, in late November or whatever it is. Good luck. See what you got up there. But, you know,
well,
now you're gone.
And here's what you have now. You bring in Aguilar, and you have a competition. You know, if he gets beat out by one of the freshmen, he gets beat out by one of the freshmen. I don't think that they're probably not going to do that, but they'll have a true competition, see what happens, and then go from there. And Vols fans, just, you know, when you get upset in the middle of the season, when you go and you lose by three touchdowns in Tuscaloosa, remind yourself.
I don't think they will, man.
And they may not. I'm just saying if they do, you know, you're going to have to show some patience. But you're right. I mean, look, they might. But I think, and I haven't done a deep dive on this team yet, I think they had some other glaring holes that they were going to have with or without Nico. So, I mean, I kind of felt like this team was going to take a little bit of a step back.
I agree with you. You know, and what happened, you know, when Hooker was there, him and Hooker ran that offense to perfection. They were quick. They were fast. They were go, 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 go. And now with Nico, they slowed down a little bit. And I think that took kind of the surprise. Because the whole thing with the offense is it's so fast, you don't have time to react. And that's the
or sub.
Or sub or catch your breath. Or if you get one mismatch, you're done. But now the offense kind of slowed down a little bit. I'm like, this is a really pedestrian offense when you slow it down.
Yeah.
And teams are able to figure that out. So hopefully whoever gets the quarterback, if it's Aguilar, can go in there and run that offense and go, 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 go. That's what it's about. You can't give guys time to catch their breath.
Well, I thought it was interesting. Last year on game day, Saban did a really good breakdown of the up-tempo offense that they like to run there at Tennessee. And, I mean, that's what he said. He goes, the defense can't sub. Now, the offense are able to get guys in and out real quick, but the defense can't look to see what they need, and so the defense doesn't have time to sub.
What if the defense is dominant then?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, he said
it's sub and dominant. Keep going.
Okay, thank you. But Saban said it wears them out.
It does. It wears everybody out that goes on that way. So I don't go back to
try
that.
Try and make a great point. You just, you know.
But you set me up, man. It's like when the Sounds play that
sit
team.
Sit you down
from,
in a second.
It's like when the Sounds play that team from West Tennessee. You know what it does to me. I can't control it. Oh, look, now you got three quarterbacks in there. Figure out who it is, and I agree with you. If McIntyre or what's the other guy's name? Merkelwitz?
Merklinger.
Merklinger, yeah. Here we go again. Merklinger! I'm going to need you to fire that salesman. Look, if you go in and you beat him out, fine. But here's the deal. Heupel's got May, June, July to work with these young guys with McIntyre, Merklinger to get it done. And so it's not like you're just game one. Like, here you go. Go play. And who was game one? Syracuse? I think it's Syracuse somewhere, like in Atlanta or something, which is not going to be easy. But it's not like you're putting the guy out there game one. Say, all right, here's no preparation. Go. Heupel's a smart coach. He's a good quarterback coach. They'll have these guys ready to go by September.
Atlanta.
Syracuse and Atlanta. Okay. Remember when Tennessee beat NC State and then Dooley put that stupid leather helmet on after the game? Like 2012 or 13?
Oh, yeah.
Because they preempted the game blitz. We were doing the high school show with
them.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And then Dooley put that goofy head on, that leather helmet on.
No, everything Dooley did was goofy.
It was. But, no, look, it's what's happening now. You go on, you compete for it. Problem is, you know what Derek Mason said about, you know, with all these guys transferring in, you know, get rid of the spring practice and give us the OTAs in June and July. Now this guy can come in and work with the team. Otherwise, his first official practice is in early August with the Vols. So that's what the situation is now for them.
That is the situation.
That is.
That is for sure. 615-737-1025. You do it to me, I'm going to do it back to you.
That's what she said.
What in the world?
Oh, that's a good little mashup there.
Play it again.
That's what she said.
Maybe Clay will call and talk about Vandy baseball, who had big series win right over Georgia last weekend.
Yeah. Kenneth says Joe Milton had better numbers than Nico did at Tennessee. Granted, Milton was a senior.
Okay.
I mean, I guess to your point, like Hooker and Milton probably ran the offense quicker than Nico did. Now that would be an interesting exercise to go like time each play, or look at the average time of, you know, in between plays.
I thought it was just go.
I mean, that's what it felt like. But I agree with you that it did. It felt a little bit slower with Nico.
Yeah, it did. I thought it did as well. And then, you know, you go
maybe
back.
Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But,
you know, yeah. I mean, you and like, well, you know, Jalen Hyatt was already going to the Giants. I mean, there's things that happen. You can't control the roster around you. You just play with who you got. But now, you know, we're breaking down Nico's stuff after what happened. And, you know, it deserves to be talked about. But I don't think anybody wanted to see him go 3 weeks ago. That once word got out about what he was doing, it's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
We're gonna do
this. Right. I mean, because again, it goes back to the, well, if he had been an elite player, this discussion doesn't happen. Like,
no.
He's still here or still at Tennessee. They would have figured it out. It may not have even gotten public. They would have figured it out. But the problem was, it's like, dude, you're good, but you're not good enough to hijack the program.
Right. And now see you out there. And
did you get also, that $4 million?
Yeah. And also, you know, talking to the friends that are they don't want him to fail. Go to UCLA and you're gone now. You know, you're not with us anymore. Good luck out west and do whatever you need to do. But, man, it would be great if somehow they come together in a bowl game, like the Nevada Bowl.
That would be awesome.
Oh, my goodness. We got Vrabel versus the Titans, Heupel versus Nico. I mean, it'd be a fun season.
Look, I know Vols fans are – shooting higher, but I mean, what if you got SEC Big Ten in the Music City Bowl and it was Tennessee UCLA?
100%. Were you looking in the camera for that?
No.
Okay. I thought you kind of tilted your head to look into the camera.
No,
it got all dramatic.
No,
I like,
did not.
What's going on here?
But that would have been good.
That would have been great, man. Oh, yeah. That's Scott Ramsey. I know you're listening. That's it. That's make the Music City Bowl announcement today. UCLA versus Tennessee.
just go ahead and inform everybody. Hey, no matter what happens.
Right. We got these two teams.
This is what it's going to
be. Oh, that'd be a great bowl game. That'd be a great.
It would sell out.
UCLA would bring 30 people.
Tennessee would sell it out just to yell at Nico's father.
Oh, right, if he shows up. Oh, my goodness.
Probably have ceremonial jersey burnings outside Nissan Stadium.
See, I'm not in favor of that.
Well, they probably would.
I'm not in favor. You know why? If you don't want the jersey, I've always said this, go donate it to Goodwill.
Yeah.
Just go give it to Goodwill.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm not donating a jersey. I'm not going to. So, no, go You're give it. Burning it. Burn it. Yeah, I'll go donate. I'm not going to burn it, though.
I'm just telling you, that's what fans do.
I'm not doing it.
615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get back into the draft and much more as we move along here on Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. And by the way, we mentioned it earlier, our draft coverage will begin Thursday at Twin Peaks in Madison. Jared will be there with his show. And then Friday, Boom Boss Pizza and Watch Bar in East Nashville. It starts at 6 o'clock each day, presented by Hardee's, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Twin Peaks, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Shane Company, and Professional Home Improvements.
The first pick in the NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select.
Prize decision made. There was real trade interest, but as one team said, they never opened the door. All eyes are on Cam Ward.
What do you think the chances are of a guy like you and a girl like me ending up together?
Well, Lloyd, that's difficult to say, and we really don't.
Hit me with it. Just give it to me straight. I came a long way just to see you married. Just least you can do is level with me. What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah!
Is that other teams to the Titans right now? Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Draft week is finally here, and the Titans are set, at least right now, to make their selection number one overall and take Cam Ward, the quarterback, out of Miami.
So I ask AI, who's the worst number one overall draft pick in all sports of all time?
Ooh, that's a great question.
And I got Kwame Brown, NBA 2001, Jordan's pick. Drafted first overall by the Washington Wizards, Brown was the first high school player to be selected with the top pick. Lackluster NBA career, earning him a reputation as a significant bust, even more so as the number one overall pick.
So more than Jamarcus Russell?
He's second.
Okay.
Yep.
He was pretty bad.
My Jamarcus, the Jamarcus Russell story about what they put.
They put money in the play.
Yeah, he's like, I loved it. And then, you know, or they gave him a blank DVD.
And said he watched the film. Yeah. Yeah. That was Oh, that was
I love
great.
It, man. But I think, to me, Jamarcus is.
I mean, it's pretty bad.
Should put it out there and have that. I just, overall, I mean. And then they had this one of the AI popped up. Ryan Leaf. Oh, well, Ryan Leaf wasn't the number one overall pick. So that didn't happen.
He was turned out to be a bad number two overall pick.
Yeah, GQ's got a list. And then third is, well, they keep refreshing itself, so thanks. LaRue Martin for the Portland Trail Blazers in 1972. Evidently, he was terrible, but I don't know. Kajana Carter, 1995 by the Bengals. Awful.
Yeah, it was bad.
Now, we're not doing this to say, I hope Cam Ward comes in here and leads his football team to the promised land. I mean, I really hope he is the answer. I just don't see all around everybody on board like, all right, that's a guy. We're fired up. It's kind of like, yeah, I mean, they need a quarterback, so he's kind of there, you know. And so, I don't know, there, get it, goes on. I don't know. But, I mean, it's one of those things that we're not sitting there overly rooting for this guy to fail. I just think they need more draft choices. That's it. Bottom line.
No, and I don't disagree with you. I mean, if they can figure out how to get more draft choices, then I'm all for it. But all indications are, unless they're just completely swerving, to use the wrestling reference, everybody, that they're going to stick and pick at number one. They've never done that as the Titans. You know, they've had it is it three times as the Oilers?
60-something. NFL-wise, 73 and 78.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure overall.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get it. Like, you want that opportunity. Now, we can sit here and argue all day long that this isn't the year to have the number one overall pick. And while that may be true, it's what they got. So, if that's what they're going to do, that's what they're going to do.
If Willie's listening to this one, he knows about this. Worst overall pick, it's just what happened. Brian Taylor was the guy taken by the Yankees in 1991. He was a left-handed pitcher. He was good. So good. And he got into a bar brawl defending his brother, like broke his hand and ripped his shoulder out. and the guy would have been – he was Hall of Fame material. I mean, he was so good. And then, he got into altercation, defended his brother, and then towards labrum was never able to pitch again, and the Yankees left holding the bag on this guy. But, I mean, it's a thing. You just never know what's going to happen. That's why we love this stuff, because anything could happen. Anything could happen with them, and we'll find out this fall if he's their guy.
That is a very true and fair statement that we will find out this fall.
Do you think Tim Couch is a bust?
Yes. Yeah, he's a bust.
Okay.
You don't?
I mean, he played for a while. I mean, Kelly Holcomb. Well, I guess so, because Kelly Holcomb beat him out.
Yeah, it was Kelly took his job.
Number one pick, I guess. Just a massive disappointment.
I mean, look, you can sit here and say, well, what if he wasn't with the Browns because he was the first pick by the restart Browns, you know, that was an expansion team, essentially. So you can argue that, but, I mean, by all practical purposes, he played 5 years in the league. He was a bust. He started 59 of the 62 games that he played, 22 and 37 as a – is his record, completed 1,025 passes, 59.8, 64 touchdowns, 67 interceptions.
Okay, he win. He's pretty bad on that.
Need I say more?
What are Jamarcus Russell's doing now? Wouldn't you like to talk to those guys? Like, what would you do?
Well, I mean,
different?
Like, Ryan Leaf has been a great, you know, kind of ambassador now to talk about, you know, his mistakes and all that. I mean, he's been on – we've had him on the station before. He's been in this building before.
Has he?
Mm-hmm. Super nice.
Yeah, I mean, I watched Jamarcus Russell in 2006 when he beat Tennessee in Knoxville. I just marched the LSU team right up and down the field. Was like, this guy is something. But what happens? What happens?
Do you want the latest on Jamarcus Russell?
Yes.
I would love that.
Jamarcus Russell, the former NFL quarterback, is currently not involved in any coaching or working with Williamson High School, his alma mater, due to an allegation of misappropriating a donation. He was removed as a volunteer assistant coach in the fall of last year after being accused of taking $74,000 check intended for the school and deposited into his personal account.
Oh boy.
WPMI reported that Russell also faces a lawsuit related to the incident.
That was at LSU?
I believe. It says Williamson High School, so I assume that's...
Oh, the high school.
It's like the great line from Die Hard. You know, you take $74, they're not going to miss you. You take $74,000, they will find you. What an absolute jackass idiot. I mean, you deserve this. You keep making... I don't feel sorry for you now. You have the world in your hand. So now, this is terrible.
It all started with the film.
74, which I believe this because that's just a weird figure, right? So, I mean, does he go to the bank and says, I want to deposit this? Oh, great. Oh, it's made out to the school. Well, I'm going to diversify the funds here. So what an absolute idiot.
Well, I guess because he was involved with the school, that was able to kind of be okay.
74,
it's not okay overall.
That's not,
I'm saying that's how the check got approved.
Did you see the you remember Justin Blackmon, the receiver?
Yes.
Did you see that over the weekend? It's sad, man.
Sad is the perfect word. Like, you know, I feel sorry for him, but it's really sad. I mean, it was a first round pick, top five.
Had a ton of potential. He could still be in the league. He's 35. Like, he could still be in the league right now, but was arrested over the weekend. I think it was public intoxication.
Yeah.
He's overweight. Like, he looks awful.
That's sad. I mean, hopefully somebody gets to him, can help him out. But, I mean, that was – I remember they took him to Oklahoma because he was great in college.
He was really good.
Man. I'm like, uh-oh.
I was like, oh, man, he's in the division.
Yep,
here you go.
Exactly. And then you see what happens. Like, oh, that's awful. Just awful.
Like, what was – let's see. What were his stats?
Like, I feel sorry. Like, Isaiah Wilson, I don't feel sorry for him because he knew what he was doing. This guy's got an addiction, and so it's sad. Isaiah Wilson is just lazy.
This is what's really sad. 93 receptions, 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns. That's it.
In college?
No, in the NFL.
Oh, he scored 6 touchdowns?
That's it.
We got that many to do that.
That happened in, well, I guess he played 2 years, 12 and 13.
Yep, and then you got the DUIs, on and on and on and on. You know what's a fun thing to do about it's the what ifs, right?
Yeah.
And you go back, we played this with Vince Young, but imagine how if Pac-Man Jones had kept his head on straight.
Oh, yeah.
And would have been that punt returner and DB that they needed. Vince would have hit it. I mean, they drafted guys on just this immense potential that they had. And then, you know, you get Chris Johnson 2008. Griffin was serviceable as a safety in 07. And it could have been so much.
But if you had had, like, and again, you can't completely do this because, you know, if Vince had worked out and Pac-Man had worked out, you probably wouldn't be in a position to have drafted some of the guys. But, like, if Vince was good, if Pac-Man had kept his head on straight, Kenny Britt turns out to be a top-tier receiver. You put Chris Johnson in there. You keep Lindell White as your second running back, you know, and that works. And then you mentioned the defense. Like, I mean, who knows?
And keep Lindell away from the dispensaries. You'd have been
– And the tequila.
And tequila. I will still say Kenny Britt was the most physical-built receiver, like, I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you take his shoulder pads off. That dude was built.
He was chiseled.
And strong and fast. And what the hell happened? He had all the talent to be a star. You know, he was 20 years old when he came here in 2009. And then he would have been something amazing. I mean, he made that great catch versus the Cardinals, the game-winning catch in the 09 season. He played his tail off against in 2010 against Kansas City, last game of the year. And Vrabel, I'll remember that because he was on my fantasy team. I mean, all these great, just he had the potential, and they just threw it away, man. It's mind-boggling.
When did Kenny Britt leave?
He went to the Rams. Was it 13?
Yeah, because I remember, let's see, his last year.
He blew his knee out one of those years.
So he played for Fisher.
Yeah, here twice. And there. Yeah. Remember he wrecked the golf cart on Hard Knocks?
Yeah. So 2013 was his last year here, and then 14, 15 in St. Louis, 16 with L.A., 17 he split time between Cleveland and New England and then was done in 17.
Yeah, he was on the New England team that played, that might have gone to the Super Bowl, and he got cut in camp or something.
He only played three games for them and then went to Cleveland.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've drafted some really good talent throughout the years, just couldn't put it together. I mean, you think about that, Pac-Man and Vince and CJ and Britt. I mean, that's really good players. Just couldn't all put it together, man. That's why being a head coach would drive me insane.
He's younger than me.
And Kenny Britt is?
Yeah. He's 36.
But have you wrecked a golf cart?
Actually.
Oh, hello. With cameras rolling?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't too bad. Okay. You know, it happens. It
does happen.
Take the curb a little too fast sometimes.
To the curb.
Still serviceable.
Still serviceable. Still good. It's still good. Coming up next, I'll give my WrestleMania thoughts.
Okay.
I haven't done that yet. TD was here yesterday. So we'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Cover by Cena. Cover by Cena. Patton's in the ring. John Cena has set the record. John Cena is the 17-time world champion.
That's the great Michael Cole, how it sounded Sunday night at WrestleMania in Las Vegas. John Cena, in a lackluster main event, wins his 17th title. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Several of you have texted my thoughts, asking my thoughts on the whole weekend. You know, and I've taken time to think about it, Joe. I mean, your son watched with his friends, and
non-stop.
You were asking me about it, what happened. I mean, overall, I thought a lot of the matches Saturday turned out to be, better than Sunday. The main event was certainly better on Saturday than it was on Sunday. But I thought a lot of the matches were good. It was just the main event kind of stunk. I mean, it was, you know, Cena looked okay, but I mean, you can tell that he's not doing it full time anymore. There weren't like a bunch of big surprises like there were last year in the main event. And you have a rapper and Travis Scott being the big interference that nobody really cared about. And so that was kind of my problem with it. It was just very lackluster. Like, I'm fine with Cena winning. I'm fine with Cena winning in the way that he did. He won dirty. Like, he's a bad guy now. Like, I'm fine with that. As Michael Cole pointed out, who's the announcer for WWE, as he pointed out, Ric Flair in those 16 title reigns, you know, he was the dirtiest player in the game. He didn't win them all clean. Like, I have no issue with that. It's just, you know, and then you had The Rock kind of being a part of the build, and then he disappears. He wasn't there.
Wasn't there at all?
No.
Why not?
He's going to appear on McAfee today, so maybe he'll tell us.
Okay.
So it just wasn't good. And, like, I knew after last year's WrestleMania being one of the best of all time, maybe the best of all time, that it was going to be hard to live up to that. You can't, you know, have five stars every year. Like, I certainly understand that. But I was definitely disappointed that, you know, that was the – you kind of had a build that really could have been better overall, and then ultimately the payoff wasn't very good.
Give me something good then.
So then you fast forward to last night, which is kind of the reset. The Raw after WrestleMania is always like the most anticipated one of the year. It was fantastic. You had Cena come out, give a promo basically saying, you know, he's the last real champion. He's saying he's taking the championship home with him when he retires. He's only got 27 dates left. So my guess is they're going to retire that title and basically start anew. And then Randy Orton was under the ring, comes out of nowhere, gives him the RKO, kind of sets up like that old feud. That's
under the
ring? Yeah, he was under the ring.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so great.
So I liked that. That was a good way to start it. You had new tag champs, women's tag champs. Becky Lynch turns heel after her return at WrestleMania. So that was – I'm cool with that. And then Rusev, who I think still lives in Nashville, he made his return after 5 years to the WWE, so that was big. And then you end it with Paul Heyman, who's aligned himself with Seth Rollins, and Bron Breakker then is revealed as another member of this new faction, and they take out CM Punk and Roman Reigns. So they got definitely something to build on for the future. But my thing is, the Raw after WrestleMania shouldn't be better than the WrestleMania event itself, and it was.
I agree, so, man.
That was kind of my.
So what's SummerSlam? That's when?
SummerSlam's not until the end of July, early August, and that's, I think, in New York this year.
I have a question for you, Chase.
Yes, sir.
Would this be the first WrestleMania ever where they featured a TNA champion?
Yes, and that was a big deal, too. So, like, Ricky just texted me, said Sunday was better than Saturday. I agree overall. The matches on Sunday were better than Saturday. The ending to Saturday was better than Sunday is how I should have said it. But, yes, Joe Hendry, TNA World Champion, made his WrestleMania debut, fought Randy Orton, lost, but was certainly really good. Was a cool moment for him, cool moment for Randy as well. So, yeah, but that was fun. That was a nice little pop.
The WWE, they bought out the rights of TNA.
No, they just have a partnership.
Oh, partnership. Them. I thought they bought them out.
Okay. Not yet.
Lane.
They probably will. They probably will. But and they just acquired AAA, which is the big Mexican promotion.
All right, so here's my thing. And don't hate me for this, okay? But in the 80s and 90s, these guys had personalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
A Dino Bravo, a Ted DiBiase, a Honky Tonk Man. Who's the guy that does yoga now? Diamond Dallas Page.
Yep.
Do we have that now? Are there guys like that?
I mean, you got guys with personalities. I mean,
but that, I don't. I'm hearing like Joe Henry beat Tom Smith, and then Frank McMurtry.
It's hard. I need nicknames. It's hard for me to. I mean, you just kind of have to watch it to kind of understand some of the,
like, Stone Cold. I mean, you knew.
Yeah.
I was like,
so now you have a guy. All right. So you remember the Steiner brothers?
Yep.
They went to Michigan.
Yeah.
Bron Breakker is Rick Steiner's son. He looks just like him.
I like the name.
He is built like a brick, you know what.
Yep.
And his
– I suck my gut in.
He is – his nickname is the what do they describe it? He's the badass, but he's like the unpredictable badass. That's what he is. And, I mean, he does a spear where he literally, like, gets airborne and just knocks the crap out of a guy. So, like, he's your big muscle.
Okay.
You know? Paul Heyman is the manager. He's the greatest manager of all time. No offense to Bobby Heenan or, you know,
don't say
anybody else.
He ain't the greatest manager. Jimmy Hart.
All due respect to Jimmy Hart.
Oh, no. All get out of here. No way, man.
I love Jimmy Hart.
So we got – maybe I'm missing the nicknames. And, you know, I mean, you knew with the Million Dollar Man who what his stick was. And you knew with Honky Tonk Man and on and on and on. And, you know, Brutus Beefcake and those guys. I need that. Is that out there?
I mean, it's a different era. There's not, you know, those gimmicky type things. It's more – there's more realism involved now.
Okay.
So, I mean, but Seth Rollins is kind of eccentric, you know, one of those guys. Like, he dresses differently, he's really good. He's a good wrestler.
So now it's about wrestling.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's some guys that can work.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, CM Punk probably has the biggest personality.
Hey, who's the guy we had in here one time that was like, yes, 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 yes?
Daniel Bryan.
What's he doing?
He was with the other company, AEW.
Okay. Is he still popular?
Not really. He's retired. I think he's kind of retired.
Right.
If you go to AEW, you just kind of
collecting the check.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that played
AEW's owned by the Khans, like okay. Shad Khan and them.
We went to a wrestling match.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that Eric Jones that plays hockey? He's a big Preds fan. Was a wrestler.
Oh,
Eric Young.
Yeah.
Now what's he doing?
He's in TNA.
So we got WWE, AEW.
Yep.
TNA.
Yep. And then there's NWA. What's his name from Smashing Pumpkins owns?
Billy Corgan.
Billy Corgan.
Okay.
So I would kind of put it. WWE's at the top. AEW's kind of second by default. Then TNA. And then you have some other smaller entities.
Okay.
But WWE is kind of repeating history. They just bought AAA. They're going to buy TNA. So
we should start a wrestling company.
We should.
And have them buy us. And our main guy is the grandson
he's
of Lorenzo.
He's the booker. You're going to book.
The grandson of Lorenzo Parente, one Dr. Crane.
As wise advice I was given as a kid, don't get into the industry.
Oh, you would know, right?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Kitchen table conversations. I think just to add on to Chase's WrestleMania comment, the best match Sunday was the Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre. I think is what No Holds Barred. Is that what it was? Or
which one?
The Damian Priest one with the
street fight.
Street fight. Yeah, that was the best one.
Did McIntyre have his eye covered?
No.
No, he did not.
Really?
He did not. So I want to address a text, and he knew I was going to do this, so that's probably why I sent it. 5828. Chase, I hate to break it to you, but nobody really cares about WWE. Maybe the same 185 people go to the events, but come on, let's face it. It's boring, fake, and nobody cares. Sir, you are factually 100% incorrect because they just had 6 sold-out events in Las Vegas. The 2 events in the stadium – over 60,000 people both nights. Again, sold out. A SmackDown, a Raw, an NXT event tonight. And what it has done for the economy in Vegas would tell you that, yeah, I think a couple people care. So you're entitled to your opinion. When you say nobody cares, you mean you don't care. And that's fine. You don't have to care. I'm not making you care.
Get it?
Don't like it if you don't like it. But don't sit here and be, you know, like a person that's just like, you're an idiot for liking wrestling. I like what I like. You like what you like. You know, so Jared, you can take your burner account, and, you know, get rid of it.
9/11, man. We got this.
Yeah. I mean, like, if we want to talk about it, we want to talk about it. People have texted in or tweeted at me saying, hey, I want your thoughts on it. So, like, again, this is what fires me up. I hate the phrase nobody cares because it's not true. People
right.
do care.
You're
you
exactly
just
right.
don't care. Just say, I don't care.
Well, I mean, when an event sets, and I know Twitter and social media is not real, I get all that, but when it sets records again for trending topics and tweets on there, which is in the tens of millions, another comes close, yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? I think I speak for a lot of people. I'm not going to say everyone, but a lot of people when I say,
it's still real to me, damn it.
And like, okay, look, the text line just blew up. Andrew from Dover, lies. A lot of us love WWE. Keep it going. I disagree with the texture. It's definitely popular. But he's right. It's scripted and fake. The injuries in wrestling is real, but the outcomes are scripted. So to each their own. It's something fun to watch regardless of the outcome. I'm not arguing with you there. Now, I don't like using the term fake because the injuries are real. Like, they do get hurt. But, yes, it's scripted. They're finally admitting that to you by doing a documentary on Netflix that's going to take you behind the scenes of everything. Like, they know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, right. You know, and it was at the Raiders. They made more money in one weekend than the Raiders did all season at the Raiders Stadium. I mean, they did. They brought in more, you know, much more. Mark from Clarksville. How do you watch it knowing it's predetermined? If the NFL winners were decided before the games, would you watch? It's different. Ooh, it's like a – okay, goodness. Why do you watch a TV show? Like, what's it – name a TV show.
Breaking Bad.
Okay. Is that scripted?
Yeah.
Is the outcome of each episode predetermined?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. But you like it, right?
Yeah, I do like it. I like it a lot. Chase's about to fight some people up
no,
here.
No, that's fine.
I love it, man.
Chase, I love and respect you. I would never call you an idiot, but because you're not one. However, you stated it's the Las Vegas crowd that says it all. I mean, it's other crowds. They were in Las Vegas this weekend.
But
They sold this out in Philly. They sold it out in New York. Like, they do this in other markets.
Right. But I don't want you to be a Rex Run on the text line.
I'm not, no.
And get all enraged and upset. I mean, let's just express their view.
My thing is, and it's not just wrestling, but, like, we live in this – I hate when people just, you know, bitch and moan at a person because they like something and you don't. That's fine. Don't like it. But don't get mad at somebody else for liking it or – chastise them for liking it. Like, there's a lot of people that like things that I don't like, but I don't sit there and go, well, Dr. Crane, you're an idiot for liking woodworking. Like,
what?
I don't do that. I don't say that. But anyway, rant over. That was my thoughts. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Good discussion. We're going to agree to disagree with some people, and that's fine.
Right.
You know, no disrespect meant. And unless you get disrespectful with me, then I'll give it right back to you.
You're ready to get into the ring with some of these people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some people that hide behind their keyboards and all that stuff.
We know who you are. We got the IP number comes through.
Yeah.
We know exactly who you are.
Yep. I'm sending Rick to your house right now.
Yep. So, Dr. Crane, we got you.
What I do?
Josh says, real quick, this is why I love listening to you guys. There's no other station or show that covers everything from golf to NASCAR to wrestling back to football and basketball all on the same show. Where else can you get that? Your guys are great. The only thing you're missing is the PFC, Pillow Fighting Championships. Well, you know what? We'll get on it right now.
Easy. We got Premier League darts and NRL, baby.
Yeah, we do. Real quick, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. It is all presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards. Visit them at JarrettCompaniesInc.com.
First on the list, we have In God We Trust Day.
That should be every day.
Every day.
Indeed. April Showers Day. Chemists Celebrate the Earth Day. Obviously, today is Earth Day, so that's celebrated.
Yeah.
Girl Scout Leader Day. Shout out to the Girl Scouts. Those cookies are pretty good, too. International Mother Earth Day. National Jelly Bean Day. And to wrap it up, not librarians, but school bus drivers day.
Oh, very nice.
God bless them. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get them within two. Our first birthday is the original Joker himself in the movies, Jack Nicholson. How old's Jack Nicholson?
86.
80.
88. 1-0. Chase McCabe. John Waters, director John Waters. Today's his birthday. It's a Simpsons episode that makes me laugh every time. The Shoop Shoop Girl.
Oh. Was he
right?
Was he the director of that?
He did, yeah.
Zap.
Yeah. Bart! What the hell?
We work hard. We play hard. 72.
70.
79. Peter Frampton.
75.
78.
75, exactly. Chase up 3-0. Well done. Jeffrey Dean Morgan from The Walking Dead and was in that terrible rock movie, Rampage, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Awful.
48.
50.
59. Hoping that she doesn't defecate on your bed today. Amber Heard. Today's her birthday.
Okay. 45.
I'm afraid to answer. 40.
39. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Making sure. Machine Gun Kelly.
32. 33.
35. 3-2, Chaser. Singer Paul Carrick from Squeeze and Mike and the Mechanics sings In the Living Years.
63.
60.
74. Actor Ryan Stiles from The Drew Carey Show.
58.
62.
66. Byron Allen, comedian turned media mogul, who's worth $900 million. Crazy. Byron Allen.
50.
85.
64. Actor Chris Makepeace. He was in a great movie called The Bodyguard and Meatballs with Bill Murray.
Love The Bodyguard. 67.
72.
61. TV personality Sherry Shepherd of The View.
59.
56.
58. Chaser knows his favorite show, people. 4-2 right now. All right, let's go to birthdays. Jeff Hostetler, former quarterback for the Giants.
We brought him up earlier.
We did.
64.
65.
64, exactly. Chase up 6-2. Ken Dorsey, former Miami Hurricane quarterback.
20 a GM. Or am I thinking? I'm thinking of a different Dorsey.
He was the OC for the Bills that got fired. Remember he
that's
threw
right.
the clipboard?
Yeah, that's right. He is 44.
48.
Chase McCabe killing it. 44 exactly, up 8-2. Matt Jones, former Arkansas quarterback. I think he played with the Jags for a little bit.
Not to be confused with the host of Kentucky Sports not, Radio.
Not to be confused, Chase. I knew you were going to say that.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I'm going to say 48.
52.
42, last birthday, Marshawn Lynch.
Beast mode. Get some Skittles. He is 38.
39.
Oh, 39 exactly. Chase nice. Wins 8-4. Good job.
Congratulations to me. Thank you very, yep. very much. As we say goodbye, caller number 5-615-737-1025. You're going to go see Metallica at Nissan Stadium Thursday, May 1st. Special guests include Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies.
Woo! All right. Great show, everybody. Hey, to our guys out there, if you are struggling on your cell phone, you can call or text 988. There's somebody always there to talk to. You might be having a bad day. Remember, storms don't last. They don't last. And know that we love you, and more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Still real to me, damn it. Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.